She lied to me, in fact. First, based on the fact that she just graduated from college, her first lie was about her age. She told me she was 22 and was about to graduate last year. Second, she told me she was from Miami and stayed there to work. I know there were a million other lies she told me that week, but I wasn't exactly open and honest about my life or my past either. We both knew what we were doing. The week in Daytona was all about pleasure, about being in the moment. Our pasts and futures didn't matter. The lies we told were of no consequence because there was nothing more than that moment in that hotel, tangled in sheets and coated in sweat. But now, our paths are intertwined. My fate and future lie in the hands of the boss's little girl, the same chick I'd banged until my legs barely worked anymore.
Do whatever you need to do to make shit right,
Izzy tells me before walking away and disappearing inside the shop, leaving me out front with my dick in my proverbial hands. She said, do whatever, but I wonder if the whatever includes being with her niece. I know the spark is still there. I caught Gigi staring at me more than once, not with rage, but curiosity, watching my hands as they touched Piper's back, maybe remembering the way they felt sliding across her skin. Whatever there is between us, I'm gonna leave her alone until I find out.
Chapter 9. Gigi. Fuck! I love my dad, but come on! Why does he have to be so gung-ho about the happy family vibe at the shop? What does it matter if I like Pike or not? I don't remember my dad going to this much trouble when they hired Kat. But what I do remember is my aunts going bananas about a young little hottie working so close to their men. But now my dad wants us to be all kumbaya, holding hands, and one big happy freaking family. If he only knew. He'd fucking kill me, and then he'd murder Pike.
We gonna talk about this?
Pike asks from the passenger seat of my pickup truck. I think we said everything we needed to say already. I stare straight ahead, keeping my eyes on the road instead of on the hottie next to me. Why the hell does he have to smell so good? Pike shifts his body, but I don't dare sneak a glance. I know his eyes are on me and nowhere else. I can feel the weight of his gaze like a warm blanket, covering my skin.
Darling,
he says with a hint of a Tennessee twang in his voice,
I have a lot more to say to you.
Well, you talk, and maybe I'll listen while I drive. I shrug one shoulder, wrapping my fingers tighter around the steering wheel. It's not like I have a choice, do I?
I like a captive audience,
he says sarcastically.
First, I didn't follow you. I'm not a stalker.
That's what you say, but how do I know?
Gigi, how the fuck would I even find you?
I shrug again. Anything's possible.
You told me your first name. You also told me you were from Miami. And the last time I checked, we're hundreds of miles away from there.
There are other ways.
What other ways?
He turns and his knee is almost touching mine, but I have nowhere to go. No way to fight back because he's making all the sense in the world and it's aggravating as hell. I don't know. My uncle's a private investigator, and I'm sure he could have found me with very little to go on. Pike laughs, and I can see him shake his head out of the corner of my eye.
Listen, babe.
I growl, which only makes Pike laugh.
Ugh. You like darling better?
I don't like either. My name is Gigi, or Giovanna, I correct him.
Giovanna is kind of an uppity name, which right about now suits you.
I changed my mind. I reach for the radio because I'd rather listen to anything other than his sexiest all-get-out voice. He tightens his fingers around my wrist, peeling my hand away from the buttons on the console.
I didn't have anything to go on. I figured what we had was nice, but it wasn't anything that would go the distance. The last thing I'd do is stalk you, to try to get another piece of that fine ass.
My gaze slides to his face for a moment before going back to the road. Nice? My voice is high, almost shrill. What we had was nice? I ask, grinding my teeth and ripping my hand from his grasp.
Well, not really.
He pauses, and he's lucky as hell I can't lunge across the seat and wrap my hands around that beautiful neck of his.
It was fucking spectacular. The shit you did.
Stop. I shake my head, grinding my teeth so hard my jaw aches. I was there. I don't need a play-by-play. Pike laughs again, practically making my blood boil.
I'm just saying, I didn't track you down. I figured you had your fill and we're through. So why would I bother to track you down?
He pauses, but I don't reply before he continues.
I don't chase, pussy. Never have, never will. It's not my style, darling.
Thanks for that little nugget of truth, Pike.
You're acting like I did you wrong. You were the one who just up and left without even so much as a goodbye.
I cringe when he says the last few words. I did do that to him. I told him I was running out for some coffee, and I didn't look back before I got in my car, picked up the girls, and headed back to FSU. But in all fairness, when I rolled over that morning and saw his phone with a text from some skank that read, "When you're done with the little girl, I'll be waiting for you," that shit set me right off. I knew I was just another piece of ass to him in a long line of pussy, waiting to take my place. For half a second, I thought we had something more than a casual fling. But that text reminded me I was nothing more than another notch on his bedpost.
I waited in that hotel room for 3 hours before I figured you weren't coming back. I felt like a fucking fool, too.
I'm sorry. I didn't take into account how he felt, or if he'd even given a shit. I figured a clean break, no goodbye, no last kiss, and no more questions was the best way to end things with him. It was a coward move, but I'd never done anything like that in my life. I didn't know how to act, or if there was a proper way to say, "Thanks for the cock, big man."
Who does that kind of shit?
Oh, please. I'm sure you've been with plenty of chicks who didn't kiss you goodbye.
I've never had anyone run away without at least saying thanks.
My gaze moves from the red light to his face. He's staring at me with a hardness in his eyes, fingers moving across his beard. Thanks? The corner of his mouth tips up, showing the white of his teeth nestled behind his facial hair.
Why not?
I throw my head back and laugh. I think you would have been the one saying thanks to me, buddy. My words only make Pike laugh. God, he's so annoying.
I figured I gave you all the thanks you needed, with so many orgasms you could barely walk when you went for that fake-me-out coffee.
I narrow my gaze on his handsome, smug face. It's not like you're the only man on the planet who can give an orgasm. You're not God's gift to women, country boy. Hell, I can give myself an orgasm anytime.
Do you think about me?
His smile grows wider. I twist my lips, staying silent as I turn my eyes back to the road. I'm thankful we're 2 minutes from the burger shop because I need out of this truck and need distance between us. Babe, when I'm touching myself, like really getting into it, fingers stroking away, and I'm craving to be filled.
Don't say things like that unless you want to be flat on your back, begging for my cock, sweetheart.
You're so full of yourself. Fuck, he's so right. We're trapped in the small cab of my truck, and he's so close to me. I can smell the musky soap on his skin. All the memories from that week come flooding back to me like the naughtiest and most vivid dream. But I push them aside, staying in the present with the more annoying version of Pike.
Tell me you haven't thought about me once since you left Daytona. And I'll leave you be, chalking it all up to a good time and nothing more.
I haven't thought about you once. I lie. Have you ever thought about me?
Every damn day.
He answers quickly, and I immediately regret asking him that question. If I were being truthful, which I'm not because I'm not giving him any ammo, I've thought about him every damn day too. How could I not? After a week like we had, the way we had it, I couldn't think about anyone else but him. He ruined me. I never thought I'd say those words, and I can barely admit them to myself sometimes. But he did. He ruined me completely. Mallory had asked me before I met Pike if Eric was any good in bed. I said he was okay, or maybe I said he was good. But now I know better. Pike did things to me that made my toes curl and my legs shake like I was having a seizure. We're here. I opened the door and hopped down from the truck's cab, leaving Pike behind as soon as I shut off the engine. I move quickly, pulling open the door to the burger shop, trying to put as much space as possible between Pike and me. But no matter how quickly I move, he isn't far behind.
We're not done,
Pike says, almost plastered against my back in the impossibly busy restaurant. I turn, glancing up and over my shoulder at him. We are. He leans forward, putting his face so close to mine, I can feel his warm breath tickle my skin.
I'm calling a truce for now, but that doesn't mean I don't want you in my bed again. Lips on mine.
I suck in a long, deep breath, feeling a little dizzy, remembering how his lips felt like velvet even with that beard. It's never going to happen. Quickly, I twist my head, staring up at the menu and silently cursing myself, because I very much wouldn't mind being in his bed with his lips on mine again. Asshole, I mutter softly.
Welcome to Burger, Burger, Burger,
the guy with the dopiest outfit ever says on the other side of the counter. The name is cheesy. The uniforms are even cheesier, but the burgers they make are the best in the country.
What can I get you?
He asks with a grin so large I know it's fake as fuck, because ain't no one that happy to be working in this joint. I'll take a double Swiss and mushroom, a large onion ring, and a medium diet lemonade.
Diet?
Pike says in my ear. I elbow him because he's close and I don't feel like getting into it with him in front of everyone. What do you want to eat, Pike? I ask, not turning around, but instead giving the same fake-ass smile back to Jim, or at least that's what his name tag says.
Besides you,
Pike whispers in my ear, which earns him a second elbow to the gut.
I'll get what she's having.
His voice is strained, the two good shots I got in clearly having an impact.
For here to go,
Jim, the cashier, asks, with his smile still firmly planted on his pimply face. To go.
Here.
Pike says over me, and Jim nods.
We also do need a few other things to go.
Pike's fingers graze my ass, and I jump, but stop myself from smacking him when I see the yellow sheet of paper in his hands. He rattles off the order for everyone at the shop before handing Jim a wad of cash. You could have just asked me for the list, I snap. Jesus, when did I become so bitchy? Pike brings out the worst in me. That week in Daytona, I felt more like myself. I didn't have to be anyone else but who I was. Although I told a few lies because I didn't know Pike at all, I was truly me. I didn't have to put on a good face or act like some happy party girl ready to do anything Mallory wanted, so I didn't have to listen to her shit.
My way was more fun.
He smirks, eyes blazing as he stares at my snarled lips.
We'll bring it out to you when it's ready,
Jim says, because clearly we're done and stopping the flow of traffic. I stalk toward an empty table, plop down in the chair, and stare out the window.
We can be civil,
Pike says, sliding into the chair across from me.
I want this job, and I'm not looking to get canned before I've barely had a chance to start. Your dad won't fire you, but he'll toss my ass out in a fucking heartbeat. I'm not trying to piss you off.
That's news to me, Pike. And by the way, I didn't get the job because I'm related. I've been working my ass off at the shop for years, earning that damn chair.
Your line work is amazing,
he says, complimenting me on something that isn't sexual for the first time.
Especially with the short time you've been tattooing. It's impressive, actually.
Thanks. My dad taught me well.
You're lucky,
he says, leaning back in his chair and kicking one leg out so it's practically touching mine.
My father didn't teach me shit, except how to be an asshole.
Oh, it's genetic then, I tease, reaching over and pulling a handful of napkins out of the container, just so I have something else to do besides stare at him.
Ha ha, very funny. I'm not an asshole.
He pauses. I risk a glance at him and quickly realize I shouldn't have. The teasing, happy-go-lucky guy from a few moments ago is gone. And in his place is a man filled with sorrow and maybe regret.
Well, not one like my father, at least. We're nothing alike. Thank fuck for small miracles.
I'm sorry. I can't imagine growing up with a horrible father. Joseph Gallo may be overbearing, but he is so damn loving that the amazing outweighs the bad. Sure, there were times I wanted to scream at him about his ridiculous rules, but I knew why he was being so over the top. He loves me. He also thought he knew better than me, which he probably did, although I'll never admit it. I won the lottery the day I was born. I knew that much. I have a father who adores me and a mother who is the sweetest human being on the planet. I have an entire tribe of people who are mine, looking out for me, loving me no matter what shit I pull. And there's been a lot. Pike shrugs one shoulder and then runs his fingers through his impossibly messy, yet somehow perfect, dirty blonde hair.
It is what it is. I put as much distance between him and me as possible.
But what about your mom? I ask, unable to imagine not being able to go home again.
She's no better than him. Just a different type of asshole. But still an asshole.
That's harsh.
If you knew them, you'd understand why I'm not being harsh enough.
I stare at Pike, losing myself in his soulful eyes, wondering what made me the lucky one to be born into a great family when there are others who got a shit deal the day they were born. 2 burgers, 2 onion rings, and 2 drinks, a girl says at the side of our table, wearing the same hideous outfit as Jim and looking no less ridiculous. That's us. I reach for the tray because she's staring at Pike with wide eyes like a deer caught in headlights. She's not a deer and Pike's not a car, but she's no less mesmerized by him. Yeah, girl, I know. I take the tray from her hands, placing it on the table in front of us, but she doesn't move. She barely blinks, ignoring the fact that I'm sitting right here like she's stuck to the floor, frozen in place. Can I get you anything else? She asks him in an almost robotic voice.
I think we're good,
Pike says and looks at me, pleading with me with his eyes, like I'm going to be able to chase this girl away.
You need anything else, darling?
I got everything I need, I reply, grabbing the burger from the paper basket, trying to ignore the weird girl who can't seem to do anything other than stare at Pike. Well? She says softly, blinking her eyelashes so quickly I think she has something stuck under her eyelid. If you need anything, just ask for me. She smiles and points at her name tag. Angie.
Thanks, Angie,
Pike says with a big smile, tipping his head to her.
I'll let you know if we need anything else. My girl and I are hungry.
Her top lip curls as Pike looks over at me, breaking the happy trance she was in and reminding her that he isn't alone. Enjoy, she says flatly, before stalking away from our table, thankfully leaving us in peace. Is it hard being you? I tease him.
Hard because people are nice?
He asks, grabbing his burger and holding it in front of his lush, soft lips. Hard because women seem to throw themselves at you.
Sometimes it's great, while other times it's a pain in the ass.
He takes a big bite, chewing slowly, staring at me across the table as I do the same. We sit like that, chewing and not speaking. But his eyes say everything that needs to be said. I could lose myself in his eyes. The deep blue-green, like the Gulf of Mexico before a storm.
Like, the night I met you, that was one of the great times.
I'm mid-swallow, and the burger almost gets lodged in my throat, but I fight to get it down. And when it's not so great? I ask, wanting to talk about anything except us.
Fuck.
Pike mutters, burger in hand, cocky smile playing on his lips.
Who am I kidding? A face like this has its perks with very little downside.
I grab an onion ring and playfully throw it at his face, but Pike catches it before it can connect. You're being an asshole again.
Darling, I'm always an asshole. But that's why you like me.
He says with a straight face. Keep dreaming, buddy. I snarl and take another bite of my burger, chewing on my food and his words. Do I like Pike? I liked him enough to sleep with him. Repeatedly. I was attracted to him. That much was true. I liked Daytona Pike way more than I like Inked Pike. But Daytona Pike also had an expiration date, whereas Inked Pike seems to be ready to settle in and stick around, putting down roots in my small town. I can't chase him away. That would require me being open and honest with my father about what happened in Daytona and what went down between Pike and me. Shit. My father didn't even know I went to Daytona, and the one thing he hates most is lying. I did my fair share of that in college, though. If they knew half the shit I'd pulled. Well, it's not like he could ground me. I don't live under his roof anymore and can make my own rules. But that doesn't mean my ass wouldn't get chewed out for the danger I'd put myself in. I can't even imagine what he'd say about me sleeping with a stranger, let alone going to his hotel room, where I could have been raped or murdered. I'm sure my father would immediately go to the worst-case scenario and all the things I could have fucked up my life by sleeping with a stranger. I didn't get an STD, or end up with a lifelong reminder, waking me in the middle of the night to be fed. What I did get was the best damn sex of my life, and now a constant reminder sitting in the chair across from me.
Finish up. We have to get back. I have a client in 30 minutes.
Pike says as he glances at his phone. I take two more bites, trying to keep my eyes on the table instead of on his muscular, ink-covered arms, flexing with each movement. When I lift my gaze to his face, he's watching me and knows exactly what I'm staring at. I'm totally busted. I'm done. I toss the burger back into the paper basket before shoving an onion ring in my mouth. I'm ready when you are, I say while chewing, hoping to pull off being as unsexy as possible. I know I need to put space between us. The spark, the chemistry, the pull I felt toward him in Daytona is still there. That scares the shit out of me, too. I'd never felt that invisible force pushing me towards someone when I was with Eric or Keith, but it's so strong with Pike. I'm not sure I can escape it.
You're still hot.
He says, like he sees through my plan.
Still, give me wood, darling, even with that mouthful of onion rings.
I'm out of my seat, tray in one hand and the to-go bag in the other, before Pike can say another word. But I'm not alone for long. I don't even make it to the door before I can hear his heavy footsteps and feel the warmth of his body nearby. Fuck my life, I whisper into the glass door, before pushing it open and stepping outside into the inferno that's a Florida summer day.
Next time we take my bike,
he says, rounding the truck and opening my door before I can do it myself. I stare up at him. There won't be a next time. I stop myself from reaching out and running my fingertips along the coarse hair on his face. Pike smiles, tipping his head and putting his face close to mine.
Newsflash, Gigi. Daytona was only the beginning.
Chapter 10. Pike.
Why couldn't you move to Nashville?
My grandmother asks as I stalk around my apartment searching for my boots.
There are plenty of places to work around here, sweetheart.
Graham, it's still too close. I needed to put distance between myself and that shit-ass town.
That mouth of yours, Pike. I know I didn't teach you to speak like that.
Sorry, Graham. I pull on my boots as soon as I find them next to the couch.
Nashville is 200 miles from your daddy. It's not like you'd run into him.
My grandmother was the only saving grace I had as a child. She still is. How she's the same woman who raised my father, I'll never understand. Where she's sweet, he's cruel. Where she's soft, he's hard. It's like he decided to spite the world and do the opposite of anything Graham wanted for him. I know, Graham, I know.
Just promise me you'll come visit this old woman before I die,
she says, laying on the guilt like she always does. The woman has been talking about her death since I was in middle school. At first, she used it as a means to control me. It worked like a fucking charm until I got smart enough to realize she wasn't dying anytime soon. Then she used it as a way to guilt me into doing shit like being around my parents when I wanted to be anywhere else in the world than breathing the same air as them. I promise I'll come see you before fall.
That's 3 months away, sweetheart. A woman of my age could meet her maker at any moment.
Why don't you come here? I have a spare bedroom, and I can show you around where I live. Have you ever been to Florida, Graham?
No, and I have more humidity and heat than I can handle here. I don't need to come to Florida so I can get more.
I laugh as I step onto my patio with a cup of coffee, closing the screen door behind me because the bugs out here are ridiculous and bigger than most rats I've seen crawling around near the gutters of Nashville. Don't be dramatic.
I'm always dramatic.
From your lips to God's ears.
Lydia is here to take me to the store. Call me tomorrow and let me know how you're settling in.
Okay, Graham. Tell Lydia hello. I lean over the railing and rest the coffee mug on the top. Talk soon. Don't die on me today.
No one is promised time, Pike. Remember that.
She says, hanging up without saying goodbye like she always does. She'd just turn me off. When I was younger, it bothered me that she never said goodbye. She was the only person I knew who never uttered those words. She said they were too final and not meant for casual conversation. That was the hard part of Graham, but everything else about the woman was soft and loving.
Beautiful morning, isn't it?
I turned my head, coffee cup close to my lips, finding a buxom blonde in a silk robe. She's leaning against the railing of her patio, which touches mine, only separated by some iron spindles. Her hand is wrapped around a mug, but the robe is open, nearly exposing her breasts. It's something. I don't let my gaze linger too long, because I don't know this chick, or if she has a man inside her apartment who'd be willing to go 5 rounds because I looked at his girl wrong.
New here?
She asks, sliding closer, but still leaning. Moved in last week. She extends her free hand, but I don't move a muscle.
I'm Cadence, but my friends call me Katie, like Katie.
She wiggles her fingers, not getting the clue that I'm not interested in niceties, especially at this hour. Well, Katie, like Katie, it's nice to meet you.
I won't bite,
she says with a small laugh. I've known plenty of women like Cadence, and they always bite. They take their pound of flesh in the end, and I am not particularly looking to have any more scars. Pike. I take her hand, giving her a quick handshake and nothing more.
Well, Pike, I'm always around if you're looking for company.
Sorry, Katie, I'm a taken man. I lie, because it's easier than telling her I'm not interested. She doesn't look like a woman who takes no for an answer. The way she's staring at me, I can tell she wants a piece of me for breakfast.
Such a shame,
she whispers and withdraws her hand from mine.
But if you change your mind...
I know where to find you.
Nice ink, by the way.
Thanks. I leave out the part about being a tattoo artist. The last thing I need is Katie's ass planted in my chair at Inked, tits hanging out, coming on to me in front of the entire Gallo family. She gives me a once-over, eyes hungry and still burning as her gaze slides down my arms to my crotch. You have a good day now, you hear?
You too.
I hold my breath, not daring to move until her screen door closes behind her. I'm halfway back into my apartment, one leg still outside, when the patio door on the other side opens and a familiar voice catches my attention.
I know, Tamara. Can you believe this shit? Pike just shows up out of nowhere.
Well, fuck me. If Gigi thought I was stalking her before, wait until she realizes I'm living next door to her. Out of all the places in this small-ass town, why in the fuck did she move into my complex and right next door? I pull my leg into the apartment, but stay near the door and out of view. I don't dare shut the door because the last thing I want is for Gigi to see me or catch me listening to her.
Yeah, he still looks delicious,
she tells Tamara over the phone. I fucking knew it.
Tam, be serious for a minute here. Don't worry about Pike's big dick. Think of all the ways this shit can go south and bite me right in the ass.
There's nothing she can say now to wipe the big-ass grin off my face. Nothing. She can call me an asshole all she wants and pretend she doesn't want me, but I know the truth. She clearly told Tamara everything and is laying it all out for her again.
You're so fucking funny,
Gigi snorts, but quickly sobers.
What if my dad finds out about Daytona? He'll fucking have my head.
The girl has a secret. Besides sleeping with me, her dad has no idea she was in Daytona last year for bike week. He'd probably shit a brick. I know if I had a daughter, I wouldn't let her anywhere near the place. Not when there are guys like me around. No fucking way would that ever happen. I peek around the corner, getting a full view of Gigi's ass in the most spectacular pair of cut-off jean shorts ever. She's holding a coffee in one hand and her phone in the other, leaning against the railing near the corner.
I can't sleep with him again.
I stand a little straighter.
Because we work together, and Pike isn't the type of guy who settles down. I don't want to be someone's booty call forever, Tam. I want love. I want a relationship. I want what my parents have. What your parents have.
That's where she's wrong, but damn it, I can't set her straight right now. It would ruin everything that we built on yesterday. By the end of the day, she wasn't ready to rip out my throat. We'd made progress, and I wasn't going to do anything to fuck that up. And I most certainly wasn't going to scare the piss out of her by walking out on the patio and interrupting her most telling conversation.
I'm not going for another ride on that cock just because I haven't been laid since the last time.
My eyes widen, and everything around me seems to disappear. Her words slam into me like a ton of bricks. She hasn't slept with anyone else?
My fling with Pike was a one-time thing because Mallory wouldn't shut the hell up about how I was a prude. I've embraced my prudishness now. I have exactly two notches on my bedpost, girl. Eric was a cheating asshole, and Pike is Pike. Best fucking sex of my life or not, I'm not rolling around with a man who can't commit.
To say I'm dumbfounded is an understatement. Very little surprises me in the world anymore, especially the shittiness. But goddamn, I was only the second guy Gigi had ever slept with, and she hasn't been with anyone else since. How is that even possible? I know three things for sure in this moment. First, Gigi isn't exactly what she seems. She's not a party girl and has never been one to sleep around. I was the exception and outside her norm. Second, I still have a shot with Gigi. She wants love. She wants romance. I could do those. I could be whatever she wants me to be. She is that badass. She is soft and hard, sweet and salty, and everything I want in a chick. She has balls and a mouth on her that could break a man's heart or have him panting with need. And third, I need to find a way to make Gigi mine without getting my ass shot by her badass father. I know I could break down Gigi's walls, but Joe, he is another story entirely.
Trust me, the women basically throw themselves at Pike. They go all stupid around him. It's ridiculous.
Gigi pauses for a moment.
I did not go stupid around him. Shut up, Tamara. He scratched an itch and that's it.
I don't know what Tamara is saying, but I sure as fuck wish I could hear her. Having one side of the conversation is fine, but damn, I want it all. I wonder what she told her cousin, how open she'd been about the things we'd done, and how fucking fantastic it had all been.
I'm not full of shit,
Gigi barks. Oh, but she is. She hasn't been honest about a damn thing with me since the moment I met her, and she continued the lies yesterday. Her mouth was saying she hated me, but now, talking to Tamara, she's saying the opposite. I knew, by the way Gigi stared at me, that she still wanted me.
Anyway, when are you getting here? My mom's flipping out because I'm living alone, and I told her you're staying with me for the summer until school starts again.
Fuck. Tamara could be a wrench in my plans to win Gigi over, but maybe not. From the sound of it, I think Tamara believes Gigi and I should be together. Even if only sexually. I'll take what I can get, trying to win Gigi over piece by piece, orgasm by orgasm. Whatever it takes. I've never been a quitter, and when I see something I want, I go after it, full throttle.
I'll have the place ready, but I'm only giving you 2 weeks to get your ass here. I don't know what the hell you're still doing up there.
I now have a timetable. I have 2 weeks to see what I can do to win the girl over before her cousin crashes the party. Maybe I can use the time to my advantage. If her parents, especially her mother, don't like her living alone, maybe if they knew I lived next door, they'd feel better about her living arrangements. Knowing there was a friendly face and coworker right next door in case shit went bad wouldn't be a bad thing, would it?
Dump Hank. He's a loser, Tam. You could do so much better, and you know it. You said you were breaking up with him a month ago, but there you are, staying at FSU for him.
She pauses again, and I'm still plastered to the wall just inside the doorway.
You have 2 weeks to break his heart and get your ass here, or I'm telling your daddy you're there getting your brains banged out of that pretty little head.
I reach out, slowly sliding the patio door closed and engaging the lock. I keep my body out of sight, not knowing if she's looking, but taking no chances either. I need to get to the shop, and I want to be out the door on the back of my bike before she has a chance to leave. The last thing I need is for her to find me here, thinking I'm following her ass around. I have to find a way to let her know I'm living here without her also knowing I was listening in on her conversation. Yeah, it's a giant clusterfuck, but a damn good one, too. I'm halfway to my bike when a door opens behind me, and I freeze.
Pike?
Gigi calls out.
Is that you?
Fuck. I rub the back of my neck and turn to face her. Hey? I wave with my other hand, keys dangling from my fingertips like a dope. She looks stunning in the early morning sunlight, the rays shining around her hair and illuminating her like an angel. But the look on her face isn't sweet.
What the hell are you doing here?
She asks as she stalks toward me, arms swinging at her sides with each hurried step. Headed to the shop. I wait in the empty parking spot next to my ride.
No.
She crosses her arms, the anger coming off her in waves.
I mean, what are you doing here at Sunshine Vista?
I live here, I answer flatly, laying out the truth.
Here?
She points to the cement. There. I point toward the building. Our building. She narrows her eyes.
Which one?
On the end? Her eyes widen.
Right fucking next to me?
My eyes widen too. No shit, really? What a crazy ass coincidence. Please, for the love of God, I hope she didn't hear my sliding door close, figuring out I was listening to her conversation. I'd like to get to work with my balls intact and my voice in a normal octave.
You say you're not stalking me, but for real, Pike, it sure as fuck seems like you are.
I signed the lease 2 months ago, and I moved in last week. You?
I'm just moving in this week,
she tells me, balling her fists at her sides, and I slide backward because she looks like she's about to throw down.
Why here?
There's only 2 apartment complexes in this small-ass town. The other place was...
Gross,
she finishes my sentence, and I nod. Wasn't going to plant my roots in a shithole like that, so I wasn't stalking you. This was the only place within a 20-mile radius that was worth renting. Nothing more. Now, you want to ride to work today or not?
Not,
she hisses. Suit yourself.
Pike, how would I explain why I'm on the back of your bike when we get to the shop? Think about it for a minute.
I slowly nod and swing a leg over my bike, sitting my ass down on the seat. I wasn't thinking about much other than having you on the back of my bike, those sweet thighs rubbing against mine and your tits pressed against my back. She tips her head toward the sky and groans, followed by a slew of curse words I haven't heard strung together in quite as creative a way before.
It's so not happening ever again,
she tells me as she brings her gaze back to mine instead of the fluffy clouds floating above our heads. Yeah, it will, darling. I don't utter those words out loud because she'll just deny how she's feeling and tell me I'm fucking crazy. But I heard her talk to Tamara, and I know the truth.
Just go. I'm not ready for work yet. I have to do my makeup. I just ran out here to grab my makeup bag from my car.
My lip curls. You don't need any of that shit on your face, babe. You're looking beautiful right now with the sunshine streaming through that brown hair of yours, kissing those cheeks. Her cheeks turn a bright shade of pink, and the attitude that had been running all through her body seems to evaporate.
You're full of shit, she waves me off. Go, and I'll be a few minutes behind you. Don't say anything about being here.
Lips are sealed, darling.
GG,
she says as I throttle the engine, ready to take off. Sure thing, darling GG. I smirk, unable to hear her scream, even though her mouth is open over the bike. I slide on my sunglasses, lift my chin to her, and walk the bike back slowly out of the parking spot. She doesn't move from the spot she's standing in. Her eyes are on me, hands on her hips, body looking smoking hot in those jean shorts, showing off the perfect amount of leg. She looks like a goddess with her brown hair blowing in the soft breeze, watching me like a hawk as I pull away.
Chapter 11. Gigi. We're all going out after work to celebrate, Izzy says as I walk into the office to grab a cold drink after my last client of the evening finally leaves. I don't know, I mutter, reaching into the small fridge near the doorway. I have a lot to do at the apartment, Auntie. We're celebrating you and Pike joining our team, so there's no getting out of this one, kiddo. I twist the lid off the soda as I turn around, gawking at my aunt as she sits at the desk. I'm not new, and I don't think Pike will be here for very long. She draws her eyebrows inward. Why do you say that? I lift a shoulder. Just a feeling I have. She taps her fingernails against the wooden top. Are you ready to tell me how you really know Pike? I don't know what you're talking about. I will deny the shit that happened between us for as long as humanly possible. She pushes back from the desk and stalks toward me, crossing her arms, which is never a good sign. I've been watching both of you for 2 days. Want to know what I see? Not particularly. She gets right in my face. I see two people who know each other and know each other well. I laugh, but it's a shrill, nervous one. My aunt's eyes flash, and I know I have to divert. I don't know him. He's just hot, okay? It's been a while since I've been with anyone, and he's the only guy in the shop I'm not related to. It's that simple. She stares at me, lips twitching like she's chewing on what I'm saying but not buying a word. He's hot. I'll agree with you there. But there's more to the story. There's something you're not telling me, and about Pike. She grabs my shoulders, moving closer. He's sticking around, kid. He signed a 1-year lease on that chair, and he's planting roots. Planting roots. I mumble because Pike has said those same words so many damn times over the last 2 days, I could scream. That man has been trying to get a chair here for 3 years, but we weren't ready for new blood. Now we've got a spot for him, and he's staying as long as he wants, unless he does something to fuck up majorly. But if he does, he still has to pay for that chair for the duration of his contract. So, settle in, sweetheart. The hottie's here to stay. 3 years? That kind of kills my theory that he tracked me down, following me halfway across the state to get me into bed again. Fuck, I hiss under my breath, and Izzy doesn't miss it. So, you might as well tell me how you know him and why you want him gone before those roots are firmly planted here. I know if there's one person I can trust to understand everything that happened and how I feel about it, it's Aunt Izzy. She wouldn't judge me for sleeping with a stranger, but she'd probably give me a lecture about safe sex and other uncomfortable topics I didn't feel like talking to her about. Then, she'd probably lay into me about being in Daytona for bike week, which I don't feel like hearing. Not yet, at least. It's no big deal. We just ran into each other somewhere. He has an unforgettable face. I lie, because it's easier than the truth. I don't want to make waves for Pike. He didn't do anything wrong. I took what he gave, and then I ran away without so much as a goodbye. If anyone should be pissed, it's him. But he's not. He doesn't seem angry with me about the entire ordeal. Maybe I should tell him about the fact that I hadn't done anything like that before and wasn't sure how to handle saying goodbye to a man I never planned to see again. But here he is, and he's not leaving anytime soon. Izzy hasn't moved, and she's still staring at me like she's a human lie detector ready to call bullshit.
That's it?
Yep. I stare her straight in the eye when I speak, because doing anything else would be a dead giveaway.
What bullshit are you two cooking up?
Uncle Mike asks as he walks in the room, scaring the shit out of me.
Just talking to Gigi about today, making sure she's comfortable and happy.
Mike collapses on the couch behind me, kicking his feet up on the small coffee table and putting his hands behind his head.
She's not new, Iz.
Thank you. I wave my hand toward him, proving my point to my aunt.
Well, she is, but she isn't,
Izzy replies. I roll my eyes.
I don't know why we have to go out to celebrate tonight.
Uncle Mike laughs.
After you have kids, you'll understand that you'll make any excuse necessary for a night out.
I cross my arms, feeling like my entire family is ganging up on me in some way. I'm sure Auntie Mia would rather you be at home. His laughter gets louder.
Mia will be asleep, and so will the kids. I'm sure she'll be lying in the middle of the bed, enjoying the extra space for a few more hours. Pike's finishing his last piece, so we're out of here in 30. Want me to close out the register?
I got it, Izzy says before bringing that hard stare back to me. We're not done, baby girl. I know you better than anyone. And there's something you're not telling me.
Oh, I love a good secret,
Mike says from the couch. There's no secret, Uncle.
Want me to hold her down and you can tickle it out of her, sis?
I put my hands on my hips and spin around to face my uncle. I'm not 5 anymore. That won't work.
Kid, you know your aunt. She's like a rabid dog when she gets something stuck in her craw. You might as well spill your guts now and make it easy on yourself. And in my mind, you're always going to be a little girl.
There's nothing to tell. I'll go clean up my station so we can get this celebration happening earlier rather than later. I have a lot to do and time's wasting away. I march out of the room, not giving them another chance to say anything more. Pike, Anthony, and my dad are cleaning their stations, talking about bikes because what else would they be talking about?
Gigi, Pike just told me something interesting,
my dad says as soon as he spots me. I stop dead, like my feet have been nailed to the floor. My heart starts to pound out of control, pumping so fast I'm pretty sure it's about to burst.
What?
I ask, wincing because I'm not sure I want to hear whatever my dad is about to say. Pike's gaze locks on mine, and I'm ready to blurt out something. Anything to lessen the blow. Why in the fuck would Pike tell my dad about seeing me in Daytona? I thought he wanted to be here. And although starting on a lie isn't great, telling your boss you fucked his daughter is just plain stupid.
He got a place over at Sunshine Vista, so you two are neighbors now. That'll make your mom feel better, knowing someone is close by that can look out for you.
A slow grin spreads across Pike's face. And I immediately want to smack it off. My eyes widen as my gaze moves to my father. Look out for me?
Well, yeah.
My dad nods, smiling because he doesn't know the truth.
Your mom doesn't like that you're going to be living on your own, and this will make her feel better.
He could be a serial killer, Dad. We don't really know Pike that well. And anyway, I smash my hands together, pulling at my fingers to keep my anger in check. I'm 21 and can look out for myself. My dad shakes his head.
You're also a girl who's living alone. I don't care if you're 30. Your mom is always going to be your mom. You know how she is, and with knowing Pike lives close, even if you don't ever need his help, she'll sleep better at night.
I love my father, but he still has some backward ways of thinking. He has 3 daughters and has taught us all how to defend ourselves and be independent. But here he is, talking about how my mom will sleep better knowing I have a guy nearby. A dick has nothing to do with safety. Knowing I've got a bullet for whatever dumb fuckers try to fuck with me is all the security I need. She should sleep better knowing I'll have my Glock in my nightstand, ready to shoot anyone who tries any shit. Dad shakes his head, scrubbing his hands down his face and muttering a string of curse words under his breath.
First, you know she can't find out about the Glock.
Dude, you never told Susie about getting Gigi a gun?
Anthony says, staring at my father with his mouth hanging open.
Nope, and we're gonna keep it that way,
Dad tells him.
You know how to shoot with that?
Pike asks, leaning back in his chair, eyes only on me. You want to find out? I smirk. Pike throws up his hands.
Maybe we can hit the range.
That's a hard no. I turn back toward my dad. I don't need a man to keep me safe. Not when I have Lola. Anthony almost chokes on the water he's sipping.
You named your gun Lola?
Of course. What did you name yours?
I never named a gun, and I don't have any in the house anymore. Max would skin me alive if she found one with the kids in the house.
All the badass men in my life pretend to be in control, having shit on lockdown in their lives. But it's all a lie. The women in their beds have all the power. Anthony won't even keep a weapon in the house because he can't win an argument with my aunt, because she holds the reins, as well as his balls. Well, Dad taught me how to shoot a long time ago. When I went away to FSU, he bought me Lola as a graduation present.
Classy,
Anthony says, earning him a glower from my father.
Couldn't get her a normal gift, like money or a car?
He doesn't do anything normal, I add.
That ain't no lie. Tamara hates guns,
my uncle says, but he couldn't be further from the truth. I chuckle because Tamara, Anthony's daughter and my cousin, so doesn't hate guns. She loves going to the range with me, especially when we needed to let off some steam around exam week. The girl actually has killer aim, a born natural for someone who never spent much time shooting.
Lily has a gun, Mike says. It's good for a girl to know how to defend herself.
Izzy walks into the main room, arms folded, head cocked, ready to go off. You assholes act like we're weak. I never needed a gun to bring a man to his knees. Don't start acting like we're delicate flowers in need of rescue. You taught your girls how to fight just like you taught me. Lord help any man who fucks with a Gallo girl.
You got a gun, Pike?
Anthony asks, diverting the conversation from the weakness of the Gallo women and back to guns.
Nope.
Pike shrugs.
I have my fists, and they're the only weapon I need. Used to have one when I was a kid, but haven't felt the need in years.
I roll my eyes again. That was such a bunch of macho crap spewing from his mouth. I got you covered, Pike. You know, in case you need rescuing. I smirk. Pike's body shakes with laughter.
You're a funny chick, Gigi.
We're leaving in 10. Whatever isn't clean tonight will have to be done in the morning, Izzy announces to the entire room. There's a cold drink with my name on it, and you, Chatty Cathys, are wasting time.
We're moving as fast as we can, Mom,
Anthony tells her, earning a glare back for his attempt at trying to make a funny. 10 minutes later, Izzy's shooing us out the shop, locking the door behind us.
Want a lift?
Pike asks as he walks next to me into the parking lot. I gawk at him. Are you serious?
Well, yeah.
Do you want a lift? Because I'm not going on the back of your bike tonight.
Does that mean you'll get on the back another time?
He asks with his face covered in shadows, but his white smile is clearly visible. No.
Why don't you ride with Gigi Pike?
Izzy asks, and I know she's testing me, seeing if I'll lose my shit, which I'm pretty close to doing.
Since we're going to be having a few drinks, one of you needs to stay sober enough to drive. Might as well use one car, since you're going to the same place.
I open my mouth to argue, but Pike jumps right on in.
Good idea, boss.
Just put your bike behind the shop. No one will mess with it, she adds, staring at me as I glare at her, but she's sporting the biggest smile.
Gigi will follow you back there. I look to my dad for a rescue, but he's climbing on his bike, either completely oblivious to the conversation, or he agrees with my aunt and just isn't saying anything.
Works for me,
Pike says, throwing a leg over the seat, looking all too happy about the turn of events.
I'm sure it does, I mutter to myself, before climbing in my truck and letting out a stream of curses as soon as I close the door.
My aunt, God love her, is testing my patience and doing what she does best, sticking her nose where it doesn't belong and meddling in other people's lives. What else could possibly go wrong?
Chapter 12. Pike. There are things I know for certain, and others I'd only assume. I know Joe Gallo loves Gigi more than just about anything, except for maybe his other daughters and his wife. The way he looks at his eldest daughter, it's like the sun and the moon rise and set on her very existence. I don't remember my parents, either one of them, ever looking at me the way he looks at her. I was more of a nuisance to them than a source of pride. I could do no right in their eyes, and they made sure to let me know how they felt on a daily basis. Even from the short amount of time I've spent at Inked, I also know the Gallows are a tight-knit crew. They love being around one another, busting the other's balls about whatever they could find. I can't imagine having so many people willing to have my back about anything and everything. The closest I got to having something like that wasn't from blood relations. When I turned 18 and left Tennessee, I landed straight in the middle of a group of bikers who were hell-bent on making me one of their own. Spent 3 years riding with them as I worked at various tattoo shops all over Florida, trying to better my artistic craft and my line work. They treated me better than the two people who gave me life. They didn't judge me, didn't expect anything but loyalty, and had my back no matter what shit went down. And there was shit. Plenty of it, too. I was an angry kid with a massive chip on my shoulder, pissed off and ready to take on the world, no matter the consequences. The guys adopted me, in a way, as much as any group can when the person's not a child anymore. I was always open and honest, telling them the biker life wasn't for me. I had dreams, and nothing but even my first real family would derail me. When I finally found a shop that would hire me full-time, I started spending less and less time with the MC. They weren't happy, but they understood where my heart was, and it wasn't riding up and down the coast of Florida, wreaking havoc and raining down mayhem. They weren't in my life on the daily, but I never said goodbye. I still met the guys every year at Bike Week, catching up like old friends who had a long history together. It was our own little fucked-up family reunion, because we had one another, if no one else. Over the last 2 days, I also realized Gigi's Aunt Izzy, the one with a giant attitude, liked to be in the know about everything. There wasn't a person's business she wasn't all up in. That included Gigi and now me, since we were clearly throwing off some sort of vibe neither of us could hide. But we weren't about to fess up to anything either. "This is my last beer," Mike says after he orders his second and another round, slipping a 50 to the waitress. "I finally feel as old as I am, and staying out late, partying my ass off, won't make for a happy Mike tomorrow." From the little I know about Mike, he had dreams of being a fighter. He even lived out that dream, climbing to the top, getting the title, before marrying and calling it quits. I'd thrown down with some pretty scary fuckers in my time, but no one quite as big as Mike Gallo. The man made every doorway seem small. But even with his imposing size, he had a kind smile and says shit that makes the smile slide easily across my lips.
"We're all leaving after this,"
Izzy announces, mothering us like she did all day at the shop.
"This makes the second round, and anything more than this, and none of us can drive."
"I'm good with the one," I add, because although I'm not above mixing business with pleasure, I don't know these people well enough yet to match them drink for drink.
"Good. Then you can drive Gigi home," Joe says from across the table with his daughter sitting right next to him, giving me the side eye.
"I'm fine, Dad. It's only beer,"
she tells him, and motions toward her half-empty glass sitting in front of her.
"It's not like I'm about to chug the next one."
The first time I met Gigi, she had more than a beer in her system. The girl could drink and had an appetite for alcohol, like almost every college kid in the country. "I'll make sure she gets home safely. I know it's going to aggravate her to no end that I'm willing to be her escort home."
"It's amazing I survived college without a ride home after a beer."
She rolls her eyes, pushing her beer farther away with her top lip curling.
"It takes more than that to get me tipsy."
Joe covers her hand as it lays on the table in front of them.
"Just do your old man a favor. Give me peace of mind tonight and let Pike drive you."
"Why? Because he's a man?"
she grumbles.
"That's such bullshit, Dad, and you know it." "Just be happy you have two sisters and not two brothers, Gigi. Your life could be worse. So much worse,"
Izzy adds, sliding her fingers through the water drops running down the side of her glass.
"Whatever,"
Gigi mutters, glaring at me across the table like I'm trying to give her a hard time when I've done nothing but keep my mouth shut, letting our secrets stay hidden.
"So, Pike,"
Anthony says, placing his phone on the table next to his beer.
"What's your story?"
I blink a few times, staring at him in confusion because the question is loaded and totally open-ended. "My story?"
"Yeah."
Anthony lifts his hand as his eyebrows pull downward.
"You got any siblings? Parents still alive? What brought you so far away from home?"
"One brother, 10 years younger than me. My parents are very much alive and still in Tennessee, hopefully where they'll stay until they take their last breath." I push my beer glass to the side and lean over the table, clasping my hands together.
"Your folks planning a visit?"
Izzy cocked an eyebrow, staring at me, waiting for more details than I gave. She was fishing. Always fishing. "Nope, I haven't spoken to them in years." I catch Gigi's eye. "My grandmother raised me since I was 13.
"Years?"
Gigi mutters.
"I couldn't imagine going that long without talking to my parents."
"That's because you have good parents. No, great parents, Gigi. You grow up with shit parents living the way I did, you ride away and don't look back. The last thing I need is to waste any more of my life on people who couldn't give a shit if I'm alive or dead." Gigi's eyes widen in horror at the harshness of my words.
"That's awful."
It isn't the first time I've seen the pity on someone's face when they realize I'd had a bad hand dealt to me before turning everything around and making it what I wanted. "If I had grown up with an ounce of what you've got," I dip my head toward her father and waving a hand toward her aunt and uncles, "I probably wouldn't be sitting here having a beer in another state, determined to plant new roots far enough away I could never run into my past either." The pretty little waitress sets the beers down on the table, her eyes moving from one person to another, but not saying a word because she can probably feel the vibe at the table has shifted.
"Keep it, doll,"
Mike says when the woman tries to hand him his change.
"You're too kind, Michael,"
she says as a giant smile spreads across her pouty lips.
"If I didn't love Mia so much..."
"It still wouldn't happen, babe. While you're pretty and sweet, you're way too young for an old fart like me."
She snorts.
"Always a charmer."
I'm thankful for her interruption. Most of the table is busy shuffling around their beer glasses, hopefully forgetting everything I said moments ago. Everyone except Gigi. Her eyes are pinned on me, sweeping over my face with the small little creases across her forehead more pronounced.
"What about your brother?"
Gigi asks as soon as the waitress wanders off because the woman can't leave shit alone. I shrug.